to the conference center. Please enter your passcode followed by the hash or pound key. Please enter your PIN.
Your passcode has been confirmed. Please wait while you are joined to the conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Century Textiles and Industries Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Agarwal from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first quarter FY25 earnings conference call of Century Textiles and Industries hosted by IIFL Securities. Today, we have with us the senior management of the company represented by Mr. R.K. Dalmia, Managing Director, Mr. K.T. General, MD and CEO Birla Estates, and Mr. Snehal Shah, CFO of Century Textiles. I now invite the management to share their opening remarks, which will be followed by a Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Over to you, Dalmia, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2025. Let me first take you through the financial highlights, followed by the business and operational highlights. For the first quarter of financial year 2025, the consolidated turnover of continuing operation grew by 28% year-on-year to Indian rupees 1140 crores. The EBITDA for the quarter declined by 15% year-on-year to 125 crores, with EBITDA margin reported at 11%. The net profit on continued operation was 28 crores for the quarter. Now let me take you through the some of the key highlights across our business vertical, starting with the real estate business. During Q1 25, the Indian real estate sector continued to flourish, driven by positive indicators such as GDP growth, boosting investment, and strong consumer spending, sustaining demand. Increasing urbanization and steady property value appreciation are also expected to propel the residential market forward. Within this market, the premium and luxury segments are experiencing rising demand, with preferences shifting towards enhanced amenities and luxurious spaces. For Q1 25, the revenue of Birla Estates grew by over 800% year-on-year to 338 crores, driven by continued deliveries at projects Birla Alokya in Bengaluru, Birla One and Kalyan, and Birla Navya Phase 1 in Gurugram. We achieved booking worth rupees 262 crores in Q1 25 at our already launched project, representing a growth of 27% year-on-year. We maintained very strong collection of rupees 488 crores from all projects during the quarter. We did two major acquisitions during the quarter, wherein we acquired 13.27 acres of land parcel in Gurugram with a GDV of 5,300 crores. And we also acquired 16.5 acres of land parcel in Manjari, Pune with GDV of 2,500 crores. In other updates, Birla Tisya Bengaluru received a gold award at the 16th edition of the Confederation of Indian Industry Southern Region Environment Health and Safety Excellence Award 2023. Additionally, Birla Nyara, Mumbai Birla Navya Gurugram received silver award at the ROSPA Health and Safety Awards 2024. In our outlook, we anticipate significant growth in the residential real estate market in the coming quarter, driven by a confluence of favorable factors and stable economic conditions, which have attracted robust investment from both domestic and international players. Additionally, infrastructure development and the expansion of smart cities present a new opportunity for growth. Investors are increasingly viewing the Indian real estate sector as a secure and profitable long-term investment with a potential of substantial return. Now moving on to the pulp and paper segment. In Q125, paper, board and tissue prices continue to downtrend trajectory, with average net sales realization down by 14% year on year, although they were at par vis-a-vis previous quarter. This impacted sales turnover and EBITDA. Overall production sales volume increased by 7% year on year and 12% year on year respectively. Sales volume were lower by 8% QOQ with general election impacting tenders orders from government. Sales turnover for the quarter decreased by 6% on year to Rs. 786 crore with EBITDA at 65 crore and EBITDA margin reported at 8.3%. Demand for writing and printing paper was subdued in Q125 due to deferment of government tenders, seasonal closing of educational institutions and courts for summer vacation. Demand remained subdued for both segments as well. An order flow impacted in the first half of the quarter due to the price increase taken at the beginning of quarter. While the tissue paper in the first half Q1, domestic demand experienced an upward trend due to seasonal factors, thereby supporting market sentiment with volume picking up. The company continued to take various cost reduction initiatives, like the increased usage of bamboo and veneer chips to reduce raw material costs. Also, we used fiber plant pulp instead of imported pulp in tissue machines, added by sustainable chemical program to reduce input costs. On the sustainability front, the company developed 80 nurseries in 11 districts to increase wood catchment areas and achieved around 7.5 lakh plantation in Q1 with an annual target of 1 crore plantation. It also implemented 5 water conservation schemes with approximately saving up 0.5 million cubic meters of water annually. And lastly, compressed methane gas generated from wastewater was utilized in tissue paper machine in place of LPC. On the market outlook, seasonal factors are expected to moderately revive writing and printing paper demand in Q2. In Q2 25, order flow in tissue segment is forecasted to be slightly lower in initial months on account of lean season. However, demand is expected to pick up towards the end of quarter. This upcoming festival season, as well as FMCG and pharma segments picking up, board demand is likely to improve in Q2. Also, imports are expected to remain subdued due to high ocean freight and issue with container availability. Export demand with Europe, US and UK market likely to be impacted by high ocean freight. In conclusion, Q2 experienced a lukewarm business performance, largely due to rising input costs and global supply chain disruption in the paper segment and customers postponed of delivery in the real estate segment. Despite these challenges, consolidated turnover for continuing business increased by a healthy 28% year on year. Looking ahead, we are confident the sustained demand and strong public investment, both globally and domestically, will drive robust performance in upcoming quarters. With that, I now conclude our opening remarks and we can start the question and answer session. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions on the real estate business. Firstly, if you consider the company has a GDV pipeline of about 54,000 crores, given where we are in terms of the cycle, how are you internally strategizing as far as launches are concerned? And if you could also reiterate the timeline around the launch of this 54,000 crores of GDV pipeline.
Yeah. Thank you, Karan, for your question. Yeah, so, as you very rightly pointed out, we have a overall GDV of 54,000. As you know, we have already launched about 12.5 out of that, and we have clocked sales for about 9,500 crores out of that. The balance will be distributed over the next few years. This year itself, we are planning to launch another 12,000 crores of this in the current financial year. And similarly, I think over the next few years, we will be distributing this. And also, we are looking at adding every year about 15,000 crores of new GDVs every year. And we are looking at a very positive and strong real estate cycle for the next few years.
Katie, just as a follow-up to this, if I look at slide number 17 of the presentation, so FY20 to FY24, we've seen launches of about 2 projects a year. But this year, you've laid out a fairly ambitious plan of about launching 9 projects in the rest of FY25. So, how confident are you about these launches, as we've also observed delays in terms of launches, such as the R.R. Nagar project in Bangalore?
No, you're absolutely right. So we were supposed to have launched R.R. Nagar in the last quarter, but because we didn't obtain the RERA, we had to postpone the launch, and we are quite hopeful that we'll be able to launch it this quarter. Similarly, Walkeshwar also we are supposed to launch last quarter. However, again, we are waiting for RERA. For both these projects, we are waiting for RERA. Walkeshwar, I'm sure we are more confident that we'll be getting it in the next few days. R.R. Nagar, I'm expecting it by the end of this month or early next month. But for that, I think we are pretty confident that we are well geared up for the other launches, and we are quite confident that we'll be able to launch all the ones that we have guided that we will be launching. We are making good progress in all of them. So this was a little unexpected. The RERA person was not there. He resigned. The new person took time to join in Bangalore. So I don't think this will be the normal course. This was a little unexpected, but I am quite confident that we'll make up for this.
Sure. And lastly, on your Pune Manjari project, where you penciled in a revenue potential of about 2,500 crores and a total area of 3.2 million square feet, so this translates into an implied per square feet rate of around 7,800. If we look at comparable projects in the similar vicinity, that's at about 20% lower versus this. So, the question is, what type of product should we be expecting, considering the higher revenue and the higher per square foot potential, and any guidance on margins that you also will be targeting in this project?
So, Karan, our positioning is that we always aim for the most premium positioning in every micro market. In our past, we have shown that in Kalyan, when the market was at 11.5 today, we are selling at 15,000 rupees per square foot. Similarly, we are pretty confident that here also we will be creating a very premium product. We are looking at a margin of at least about 25 to 30% EBITDA. More importantly, we always look at very strong IRRs. North of 20%. So our positioning is no different here. We are looking at the premium positioning and we are looking at good margins.
Great. I'll come back and meet you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you can rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Biplab Debarma from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I have two, three questions. First question is, the launches that you mentioned, 120 billion, that is 12,000 crore of launches in 525. What are the projects and how much GDV in each project should be launched? Can you please give us a breakdown how 120 billion will be launched in 525?
So, thank you for your question. So, as I mentioned, this quarter we are hoping to launch RR Nagar, MS, and a new phase of Lumaya and Valkeshwar. Together, this must be about 1,000 plus 500, 1,500 plus 600, so about 22,000 crores. In Q3, we are planning to launch the project which we have finalized in Bangalore Sarjapur Road. And the last phase of Birla Navya in Gurgaon, which is about 1,000 crores. And the Pune project, Sangamwadi. So that's in Q3. And in the final quarter, Q4, we are hoping to launch the project which we have signed in Thane with, the project we have signed up in Thane. The new project which we have signed in Pune, we are quite confident that we'll be able to launch that also, which is in Manjri. And also the last, the third phase from Trimaya. So these are the broad launches planned for the next, for the coming three quarters.
Okay. And Delhi, we are not launching this financial year.
Delhi is difficult because the entire approval process takes a lot of time. There are more approvals than usual. So we are kind of planning for the Q1 of next year.
Okay, that's great. And the second question is, in the Tower 1, Niyana, how much cost yet to be incurred? Because last I visited, it was 22nd or 23rd floor level that you have constructed. So how much more total cost to be incurred in Tower 1?
Yeah. So construction cost, if you look at in tower, we are so far about close to 300 crores.
Okay.
So 300 crores in terms of construction cost, yeah.
Any other cost besides construction cost to be incurred in Tower 1?
Obviously, all this, the premium cost, the SSI cost, the marketing cost, the sales cost, the overhead cost, so many costs are there, Biplab. All of that definitely is being incurred, yeah.
So, how much to be invested, for this?
Offline, with the option, accounting numbers could be done offline, okay?
Okay. And, on the paper side, sir, what would be the, steady state EBITDA margin for paper Shelly aging in FY25?
You are asking for the entire year?
Yes, sir. What should be the, because margin has been little bit,
pretty bad, but we are hoping that, with the pulp price increasing, we expect a rise in the NSR, which should contribute to our margin. But I think probably we are looking at right now around 12 per kg. So it's very difficult to give me a margin but I can say that our EBITDA would be roughly on an average year at about 12 rupees per kilo.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Srivastava from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. So my first question is on a balance sheet to Sneel sir.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Srivastava, you're sounding a bit muffled.
Yes, Amit, tell me.
Yes, sir, my first question is on a balance sheet. So basically our net debt number has increased to 29 billion this quarter. And
it is a mistake. The net debt, it is gross debt. Net debt is 2,500 crores.
Okay. And second is that, sir, our OCF is negative this quarter of around 700 crores.
Right.
So basically, I just wanted to understand how this will play out for the FY25, given we have three projects we have already signed, and going ahead also we are going to sign the projects. So effectively, if you can give that, how the numbers will be on the net debt side and our OCF generation for the year as a full year. Second, in terms of the working capital side, also we have seen that paper division has significantly increased the working capital by 2 billion. So effectively, at a bit of 50 crores, so we have increased the working capital significantly. So if you can give the clarity on that.
Good question, Amit. And let me answer the last question first. Working capital right now is high because we have suddenly got a lot of linkage coal from Coal India, and we cannot refuse that. So I think this is a peak working capital, and gradually we have planned to reduce it. So working capital will be released in the next three quarters. So that's not a problem. But then market being subdued, we don't expect much cash flow coming from the paper business this year because they also have their own capex plans. And we cannot hold those capex plans because that will impact our profitability in the future year. So even if you consider, let's say for hypothetical case, a zero cash flow coming from paper business, we are still comfortably placed because whatever debt the parent has raised, now future financing will come from the subsidiary because they have undrawn construction finance lines which they have not used. Even in the parent side, because the Niara project is on the parent's books, so we have not withdrawn in construction finance for the Niara project also. So I don't see many major issues in terms of, financing our future deals. Of course, the debt might go up a little bit by the end of the year. We may, on a consolidated basis, cross maybe 4,000 crores. But that all depends on how many more projects that we sign. But raising that money is not a problem for us.
So how much is going to be, we are going to invest for these three projects of 9,000 crore GDP which we have recently signed?
So, Amit, as I said, the biggest one up here is 5,300 crores from Barmal. It's
yes.
The JDA with just about 145 crores payment. So it's
okay.
Not a big deal. The other one, which is Manjri, is a deferred outright deal. So we have paid only some 200 crores right now. And we have also signed a third project which we announced yesterday.
Right.
They're also for 170 crores. So it's fine.
Okay. And second, sir, in terms of the project launch which we have just outlined that it's around 12,000 crores we are going to launch in FY25. Whereas in a presentation effort on a 17th slide itself, you have mentioned around 8,500 crores of GDP expected. So just wanted to clarify on that number here, what is the difference between these two?
Yeah. So here I think we had, so I think, whatever we have now, what I'm telling you now, that's what we are aiming at.
Okay. So any project like in a Birla Niara phase 3 also we were planning earlier in a Q4, but now it seems we have postponed.
Yeah, we are not looking at this year. I think the size of it, I think we'll take it up the next financial year.
Okay. So basically the one project which recently we have signed, maybe that will come into the picture, which is not captured.
Yeah, the one in Manjri, that's going very fast, so we are quite hopeful that we'll be able to launch that this year. We had even given that guidance also.
Right.
Manjri, yeah.
Okay. Last question is, sir, on a Birla State numbers, if you look at, so what is the kind of margins we are making in terms of the project which we are delivering now? Because whatever the numbers we have looked at on a Birla State numbers, on our sales of around 450 crores, our numbers on our EBITDA side is almost like zero. So effectively, and that is how they would be.
Slightly mistaken there. I think we are already, whatever we have delivered so far, we are giving a 27% plus margin.
Don't look at those numbers because those are the numbers of including all the overhead and all the kind of growth that we have currently doing, the marketing expenses of launch, everything includes that. That's not the right number. As we get more scale and we start delivering more EBITDA, this number will go up. But I can assure you that at the project level, each of these projects are delivering at least 27%. Some projects like the NCR project, we have only accounted for the margin for phase one. But as you look at the other phase, it's going to be almost as high as 40% plus. So I don't think margin is a worry. And as I mentioned, margin is of course important, but the most important thing is IRR, how quickly we turn around projects, how quickly we bring in cash so that the growth cycle keeps continuing. And even if we get caught in the wrong cycle, we are not left with too much unsold inventory.
Yeah.
So IRR is the number one concept. Margin is also important, but margin times we are pretty safe with the margin that all at least about 25%.
Okay. No, that's what I just wanted to get clarified. On our existing project, whatever we are delivering, around 25% plus we are getting it.
Yeah. At this point of time, whatever we have already accounted for is about 27.5%.
Okay. And so last on our Villa Navya, there was a FSI thing which was not getting clearance.
That's clear now. Yeah, that's clear. Government has cleared it. It came in the newspapers. We are all set for the last phase launch now. This year we'll be launching it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. It's really helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Also requesting all the participants to restrict your questions only to two per participant, and you can rejoin the queue for any follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Jojo Shashi from Alpha Investco Research Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I have three questions. First is regarding the real estate division. So in the last call, you have mentioned that our corporate overhead was around 175 crores annually. So this is increased from 100 crores if I said a couple of quarters back. So just want to understand what is the increase going forward? What is the steady state number of corporate overhead in the real estate division?
Jojo, right?
Yeah.
So there is no steady state. As we keep growing, we'll keep increasing. Our corporate overhead will also increase as we are strengthening ourselves in many parts. It's difficult to give you a steady state number because in several areas we are kind of strengthening as the scale increases. It's very important for us to strengthen our management team and our controls, mechanisms, etc. So, but largely I could tell you that it will not exceed about 3-4% of our bookings. That's the kind of a ballpark figure. 3-4% of bookings is what we should kind of consider as our overheads.
Okay, so 3-4% we can benchmark according to the previous.
Yeah, good benchmark, yeah.
Okay, sir. And so what is the expected collections in the real estate division for this entire financial year? And for the collection part, where exactly it is reflecting in our financial statement?
Sorry, for collection, yeah, of course, we give 2900 is what we are targeting.
Our expected target of collection is roughly around 2900 crores. In terms of reflection in the balance sheet, it comes under our inventory. For the real estate business, because it is the amount that we spend on construction that is shown as a asset, and the collections that we have is shown as a liability.
Okay, sir, understood. Got it. And sir, what is the construction spending for the next two financial years? What is the expectation?
Two financial years will be difficult, but I think it will be more or less in lines of our collection, a little less than our collection.
Okay, got it. And so my last question is, I just want to understand how is the JV with the Grasim performing? Will it have turnaround in the current year? What is your view?
JV with Grasim. So we have no JD with Grasim. You are talking real estate business or something else?
No, this is not on the real estate. It's like think on the.
That is a joint venture. It's a joint venture with Grasim in the textile side. So that is the only remaining textile part that we continue. And that is in the initial stage, so it will take some time to generate profits. And but it is not a significant ask on our balance sheet. It is more a new thing that we are developing in the country. So it will take some time to absorb. So hopefully this year also probably we might not see the light at the end of the tunnel, but certainly next year we will be starting to show profits from that.
Okay, got it. So that's from my side.
We had an 8 crore loss in this quarter from that business. Our share of profit.
Okay, understood. Yeah, sir. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, this quarter we have recognized around 338 crores of revenue in the real estate segment. So I think there is one portion which is the lease revenue, and there's the revenue recognition from various projects. So if you can break this up for us, how much is the revenue from the lease, and what are the project-wise revenue which is booked in this 338 crores?
So it is 37 crores from lease rental, 68 crores from Vanya, our Kalyan project, 196 crores from Gurugram project, and 37 crores from our Bangalore project.
Okay. And sir, since I think this 34 crore EBIT that we have recognized, I think there is a portion of corporate expenses which is impacting this EBIT. So if you can tell us what is the corporate level expenses which is booked in this quarter, and also this EBIT also has a portion of lease income. So the lease revenue, how much is the EBIT of the lease revenue in this?
So let me, you can probably work out everything else from on the revenue recognition of the project. If we from the revenue that I just now mentioned, one year we have got about 13 odd crores. Avarna we've got about 60 crores, and Alokya we've got about 11 crores, and balance it's a loss after providing for all corporate expenses. I don't have the exact numbers right now, but we can offset. You can ask for this.
Okay, and if you can just help us, what would be the corporate level expenditure that was booked for this quarter in the real estate segment?
Yeah, so we'll provide you offline those numbers, sir.
Okay, definitely. I'll come get in touch with you offline.
So please do that.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Mehta from Bank of India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for aggressive BD for the year. My first question is regarding our organizational capabilities. We are planning to significantly increase our launches as well as pre-sales for the year. So how have we already developed and trying to develop further our organization capabilities in terms of hiring new people for different roles, different geographies, and also solidifying some of our processes? So if you can talk about that.
So, Deep, thank you for the question. So, yeah, as we keep growing, we have creating a decentralized organization. Each region will have their own, team which will be responsible for their P&L of the region. So Bangalore has their regional team, NCR has their regional team, Pune, we are now developing our regional team, Bombay and Western, Bombay has our own, its own regional team, and there is an HO. So as we keep growing, keep enhancing our operational capabilities, sales capabilities. We already have a very strong BD team which is doing its job very well. We have a very strong sales team which is powering the sales performance of the company. Similarly, we have pretty strong operations team each as we keep on scaling up at each region. We recruit the right kind of people. and we have a very strong process of orientation in terms of Birla's state way of selling or the leverage of customer centricity or our operations, construction, etc. Largely construction is outsourced. We go with the best of construction partners. So it's largely a, mostly a management monitoring and, you know, control system where we very strongly do our review mechanisms and we give a lot of, you know, research-backed ideas onto the design. And we have very strong budgeting and quality control system. Execution is our core strength. And the deliveries that we are doing, we have got NPS scores of almost 85%, which is one of the highest in the industry. So, and we keep monitoring these parameters to make sure that, you know, the delivery and quality and cost and returns are the most efficient. Does that answer your question, Deep?
Yes, sir. This is very helpful. And my second question is regarding our unsold inventory. So, if you can give the value of unsold inventory as of the end of the quarter.
So, unsold inventory is very little. Most of the inventory that we have launched is sold out. If you look at NCR, it's almost 100% sold out. Look at Bangalore, it's almost 95% sold out. Mumbai, it's also. So, overall, I think about 87% of the launched inventory is sold. So what we are now, you know, what we have, the sales performance is a little muted. The first quarter is largely because of lack of inventory, number one, and also lack of new launches. So we hope to make it up in the coming quarter.
Sure, sir. Can you help me with the absolute amount of unsold inventory? Rough number will also work.
Yeah, so these numbers of this thing, I think we can help you offline. All these numbers, yeah. Yeah, about 12,849 crores is what we have launched, and what we have kind of booked so far is about 9,428.
So roughly 3,000 crores.
Yeah.
Sure, sir. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinav Sinha from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. It is a couple of questions for you. So, firstly, on GDV, you know, the projects that we are adding, is there a target in mind for the year? So that's question one, yeah.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, largely we are looking at about 15 to 20,000 crores this year, and we'd like to continue to look at that sort of number so that we can keep growing and, you know, can do full justice to our sales process also and cash turnaround also.
And how does it break between various markets or nothing specific there?
No, I don't. We are not put a number. No? Wherever we get the right opportunity is the most attractive. Ideally, a JDA, etc. If not a JDA, then in a great location, you know, a premium location that we are aiming at. As I said, we are not taking risk in terms of, you know, title or location or in terms of, you know, speculative future locations where you, the markets might emerge. We're not looking at those ones. We're only looking at well-established locations. So from that point of view, I don't want to put a number to each region. Wherever we get the most attractive options, we'll go there. I think all four markets are equally attractive.
Okay, and I presume the opportunities are still fairly attractive and there's still not too much competition out there.
That's right. Not me. The competition is definitely there. It's increased. So wherever we think it's the right deal that we are getting it, we are going for that.
Got it. So secondly, and you know, this is a bit of a market question. I mean, we have heard in the last quarter that, for example, in NCR, we have seen a couple of projects which have underperformed, say, either in terms of pricing or volume. Wanted to hear your take on that.
See, I think, you know, if you price it right, I think you will be able to get the volumes. Market, real demand is there. Supply is very few. If the design is right, the product is right, the ticket size is right, I think, you know, we should be able to, at the right locations, you know, I think there should be no issue with the moving, you know, inventory. If you overprice it or under-design it, you know, then there could be. It's important to get the product right in every market and the price also right. I think both those combinations, one has to get it right. If that is right, I'm pretty confident that there should be good traction.
Right. And broadly, so you wouldn't be overly worried or look to change your sales guidance for the year?
No. At this point of time, we're pretty confident.
Sure. Great, and all the best to the team, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Abhinav. Appreciate that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Rishi from Dun Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you give a perspective as to what kind of quantum of group properties you can develop over the next 3 to 5 years?
I think pretty limited. There are not much still in the markets that we have chosen. I think we are kind of maxed out in terms of group properties.
Okay.
Because largely the properties are in Mumbai, and I think all of that we have counted. Maybe in Pune we have about 45 acres in Talegaon, so that's kind of developed, and the town planning rules changed, and we may launch that. But apart from that, I can't envisage any more launches from the or any more kind of tie-ups with the group plan.
In a previous call, in fact, I had only asked a question, and you had talked about other than the present focused geographies, a lot of huge number of group properties there that can come into the Century Textiles fold. So,
yeah, but as I said, the next 2 years, we are not looking at expanding into any other region. I think we have got a job cut out in kind of consolidating in these 4 markets that we have chosen. I think we'll be focusing on these markets.
Okay. And I believe you had an aspiration to be in the top 3 or top 5 in the next coming years. That would entail a huge quantum jump in your business, right? So how can you comment on that? Like, what kind of aspiration? How do you plan to reach there?
Yeah, so we are very confident, and we are aspiring to be among the top 3. But more important, as we scale up, it's also important for us to be as the most reputed player in terms of customer centricity and in terms of quality. We are willing to give up scale for these two parameters. What's most important is to give high quality products in the right within the specified time, and give the best of customer centric service. Scale is important. As a group, we have always been the top 3 in every businesses that the group has entered. So we're pretty confident that we'll be aiming for that too, but not at the cost of the other more important parameters. So it will be kind of a balanced approach in terms of scale, in terms of quality, in terms of customer centricity.
Okay. Any plans for fundraising on the equity side?
We always are looking for raising platform funding for our private funding, private equity funding for scaling up our residential portfolio, maybe at some point of time even a commercial portfolio, but not in the near future for any public sort of funding.
And this won't be in the parent in Century Textiles. It will be in the particular project.
Yeah, it will be the project level.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations, Kiti. So my question was on Niyaara Phase 1 and Phase 2. If you see the last quarter, the percentage sold has gone up from 68% to 71%, and it had a big bang launch. So what is the ebb and flow of this business? I mean, is this going to take a little more time to dispose of the property? And how does it happen in Phase 1 and Phase 2? Because they're entirely different customer bases.
Yeah, so thank you, Vivek. So Niyaara Tower is now in terms of units almost 90% sold out. They've also increased the price to now about 1 lakh rupees per square foot, and I think we'll be happy to now really look at the rest of the apartments more towards completion. I think it makes sense also. It's more than 90% gone. There's hardly 20-25 apartments left. As far as the Tower 2 is concerned, we have sold more than 52% in terms of area or units. So, and the traction has been very strong in last quarter. And after that, this election year coming, there has been a slowdown. I think the initial demand has been sucked out. Given that, I think, you know, a new round of, you know, interest generation is going on, and we expect to do about three to four apartments every month from here onwards. So that's the kind of velocity we are aiming at.
Okay, thank you very much. That is my question. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Biplab Debbarma from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Sir, on the, you mentioned about Manjari and Sector 71 that we have heard yesterday. The 200 crore and 170 crore that you mentioned, are these the cost of acquisition, total cost of acquisition, or these are the initial payments?
No, I think Sector 71, which we kind of included yesterday, I think that's a full payment, full cost of acquisition.
So 170 crore cost of acquisition you have paid, right, sir?
That's right. Right.
And for Manjari, what would be the total cost of acquisition?
Manjari is about 340 crores, but it's a deferred sort of payment.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So out of 340 crores, you have paid so far 200 crores. Am I correct, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And my second question is, for FY25, remainder of FY25, any more projects, residential projects that could be recognized?
Recognized? No, I don't think
it's
recognized. Yeah, whatever is the balance of these Kalyan and Alokya and a bit of Navya. So I don't, the unrecognized ones, what that part is there in terms of handing over is going on. Beyond that, I'm not expecting any new projects to be handed over or any new phase to be handed over this year.
And in FY26, any new projects that could be recognized?
Maybe another phase of Navya will come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. That's all.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Sangvi from Investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. My first question is related to the inventory left out for these three completed projects, which is left out for the purpose of revenue recognition in terms of square feet. And my another question is regarding, it is in fact a suggestion that if we can put one more slide in our presentation for the land which we have acquired but which are yet to be developed. And that is my second question, sir. Okay.
So we can do that, Amit.
Yeah,
we can do it. And what is the first question? As whatever is recognized and unrecognized.
Yeah. We have completed three projects, right? Vanya, Alokya, and Navya.
Yeah.
In these three projects, what is the total inventory left out as on 1st July, which is yet to be recognized in the books of accounts in terms of square feet?
Yeah, so there is, I mean, if you want to go into the detail, we can go offline.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we have about the Navya, it's about 228 units, of which we have done about 200, and you know, around 28 units have been recognized. Alokya about 76 units has to be recognized. Vanya is a major portion, about 700 units has yet to be recognized.
Okay, and it is going to be recognized in this year itself, right? Because the project is completed.
Yeah. So, Vanya, okay. I think we have seven towers of which we have got OC for five. There are two more towers which we are expecting the OC in the next, this quarter and next quarter.
Okay. So, what you said is in Vanya, 700 units, in Alokya, about 76 units, and in Navya, about 220.
Ballpark figures, you know, this number.
Okay. I can understand it. Okay.
Yeah.
Ballpark number. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amit, you can go on slide 16 of the earnings presentation. You will get the details between the GDs for what we have launched and what is upcoming.
Okay. I will do that. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Pathak from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
My question is on the project sector 31 Gurugram that we just acquired this quarter in the first quarter. So what would be our share in the JV?
So it's a 40% rev share, 40% to the partner and 60% to us.
Sure. And so the indicative GDV of 5,000 pertains to just us or is at the project level?
Sorry, I didn't get you. What was that? Indicate?
The GDV.
5,300.
Yes. So is it at the project level or our share?
Sorry?
Yeah, is it our share or is it pertaining to the overall project?
Total is a gross. That's a gross. 5,300 is a gross number.
That's a gross. Okay. And sir, my second question is regarding the land availability in NCR. So I think we now have total 4 projects in the NCR market in the NCR region in our portfolio. But this quarter we have done our first outright purchase in that market. So how is the land availability and how is our thought process regarding going ahead for outright purchases? What kind of margins profile can we expect? What's your take, sir?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, margin profiles are always looking at 30% plus margin. What we are more focused on is 20% plus IRR for our JDA projects and 16-17% IRR for our outright projects. So we are working well within those parameters, within those guidance. Of course, land is very, very scarce in NCR. Very few lands are there, and all the lands that we have kind of finalized is very, very prime property. Excellent location. All should be selling above 15,000. Of course, the sector 31 is extreme premium. I think we expect at least 6-7 crores per apartment or more per apartment there. So all at a very high premium, and it's very difficult to get land in NCR today. Supply is very little, and we are very happy to have done these acquisitions.
Sure. So can we expect more kind of an outright purchases, or our preference is more towards JDs?
So Harsh, we are on the lookout for the right kind of lucrative deals. Very difficult to come by, but yeah. And as I said, we'll keep looking for the good deals. But it's possible that for a long period of time we may not do any deals, and suddenly we may get the right deals. We may do quite a number of ones. So depending on the quality of the deals, we keep looking for it in the right market, in the right location. So we have been fortunate that we got this deal at Sector 31. It's a very, very attractive deal, and what we kind of acquired at 71 is also an extremely favorable location. At a very good attractive price, so that's why we went ahead and did it.
All right, sir. I think that answers the question. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had. Thank you again for giving me the opportunity. I had similar questions on the Gurugram projects, but one more question, sir. So in Niyaara Tower 2, I think the last quarter we had sold around 68 units. So how many more units did we sell in this quarter?
Oh, we are at 75, but there have been a few cancellations of that 68 later on. Some people did not go ahead with, they withdrew. Not many, a handful of them, and now today we are at 75.
Okay. And sir, this sales of 70,000 square feet and 262 crore value, if you can break it up project-wise for us?
Roughly 225 of that is Niyaara.
225 is Niyaara. Okay.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Himanshu Javeri, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Kitty.
Hi, Himanshu.
I just wanted to ask, what do we aspire as a company, and can we expect to a top line of around 20,000 crores, 15,000-20,000 crores in the next 3 years? And what do we plan to do differently to make Birla Estates a niche and a premium brand in the market?
Yeah, So I think the next 3 to 5 years, I think it's reasonable to expect a top line of 20,000 crores. I think we can easily reach there. We have very strong presence in each of these chosen 4 markets, and I think we could be the
more the dominant player in each of these markets. That's our aspiration. How we want to differentiate ourselves, as I mentioned, is through superior quality delivery, extreme focus on execution, extreme focus on design, customer-centric design, be the most customer-centric organization. Be a very, you know, experiential-driven company who gives very superior experience to our customers, taking care of them, doing the making sure that even after customers move into our projects, you know, they get a very different experience of living, community building. Our aspiration is to create, you know, happy Birla communities, make them, you know, a very differently engaged community, enhanced living experience, etc. So that's how we want to sort of differentiate our projects in the very long term. I think so our endeavor is to get there while building scale through very strong processes and focus and execution.
And do we also plan to have a huge workforce and machinery to launch projects simultaneously across different states in every quarter? Because if we want to reach that 20,000 crore mark, we'll have to have a big, you know, the machinery should be very...
If you are meaning machinery in terms of processes and team, yeah, we are all for it. So in a hardware machinery, we are an outsourced company. We are looking at
machinery in terms of the teams and sales force.
Yeah, of course. We are in the process of building. Every year we add about 40-50% more employees. We were at 200 last year. We are at 350 now. We may go up to 500-550 as the demand for people are there. The only thing is that look for very high quality team, and there's a lot of training orientation process within the company, create a very strong culture of, you know, high performance and customer centricity. It's very service oriented. So, I mean, that is the building blocks of the company. And we're also creating a decentralized system which can move very swiftly, quickly, empowered sort of team.
That's great. And I read an article, Katie, in a newspaper of the Century Bhavan being demolished. And so, are we planning a project over there? So
We are very seriously evaluating it.
So, not still fixed anything, right?
No. It's under evaluation.
No, because next to that, the Oberoi 360 and all are selling at very well and good premium prices. So, there's a huge scope to...
Yeah. We are pretty aware of that. Yeah, we are very aware of that, and we are looking at the opportunity.
So, in future, we might do it, right?
Possibilities are there.
Okay. Thank you, Katie. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Biplab Debbarma from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Katie, so on the outside purchases, we have been seeing that last year also, when we compared the cost divided by the GDP, it is less than 15%, and around 12-13%. This year also, for both Manjiri and Gurugram Sector 71, they are less than 14% of the GDP acquisition cost. So, is this a normal way for outside acquisition? Like 13-14% of the GDP, it seems very on the lower side. So it's a good thing. So I'm just trying to understand whether we can continue to do such excellent outside purchase going forward. That's about my question.
Yeah, Vishnu, so we keep looking for the right opportunities, but it's not just the price, it's also the location, the other factors, how quickly we can launch it, how it will add to the overall brand value of Birla. How the access, the other, you know, parameters, development potential, growth potential, etc. And also, of course, the price. So all those factors together, we look into it. So that's why we are a little patient and take our time to do the BD. So these are the two ones which we got into, you know, after prolonged negotiations, we were able to conclude it. But we can't take that, you know, 13% as a benchmark, as I said. There may be properties that may have to pay a higher price, but the location is great and it makes sense for us. Overall, we try to look at, we don't pay more than 20-25% of the overall GDP to the landowner.
Yes, that's great. Because so far you have been doing 13-14% of the GDP. That, in my view, is excellent. And my final question is on the Thane project.
what would be the, if you launch the project this year, what would be the estimated rate that you expect to launch the project, I mean in terms of rupees per square feet carpet area?
So it's too early, to kind of give a guidance on prices. I know that on a saleable area, we've been looking at least 11,000 plus in that market. It's a very, very strong, very attractive market. We are catering to both Navi Mumbai and Thane. So, and the location is fantastic. You know, it's two pieces of land on adjacent both sides of the road. Huge opportunity, but little early on the to give a guidance on price. But at least that's the kind of thing looking at about 11,000 to 12,000 rupees per square foot on saleable area.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Parswani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Sir, my question is related to FY24 pre-sales. As we have mentioned in the previous call, we would be looking out to double it up the pre-sales. If I were to look in the overall scheme of things, worldly, we said on the monthly basis, we would be looking 3 to 4 units. That would be an annual run rate of approximately 2,000 odd crores, which means remaining 6,000 out of the total launch pipeline of 8,500 crores GDV. So my first question is, if you can throw some light, how confident are we in terms of quickly turning around the project in terms of the approval and launching project? And secondly, on the sales momentum, because it is implying 70% pre-sales of the launch pipeline.
So if you look at our past, we have been kind of doing about, you know, whatever inventory is left, we have only about sold at a national level about 87%, what's left is at only 13%. So that is one part in the sustenance sales. The rest, as I mentioned, I've given you overall, you know, the number of launches we have come, which we are planning. On the back of it, what we have planned is, you know, almost about 8,000 crores. All of which will have to happen, mostly all of it in the next 3 quarters. And we are pretty reasonably confident of, you know, doing this, given our kind of performance in each of these markets and each of these you know, whether it is Bangalore, Bombay or NCR. So from that point of view, I think we are pretty confident we'll be able to achieve this target.
Okay. And secondly, sir, from the, as we have also mentioned about the aspirational target of achieving the pre-sales of 20,000 odd crore over the next 3 years. Now, with that figure from the business development plan.
I did not mention, I said the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, 3 to 5 years. With that regard, we also mentioned about the business development activity of 15 to 20,000 odd crore every year. So just wanted to get a sense in terms of the what would be the investment which we would require for the land for that part every year.
So if you, I mean, it depends on what kind of projects come to us. If you look at last year, we invested about 1,000 crore to add a portfolio of 16,000 crores. So even if you do some escalation, that's about 3,000 to 4,000 crores is what we're looking at. But of course, we are on the back of very strong collections also. I think we are collecting strong as all that, you know, internally we hope that have the gunpowder to kind of create that kind of capability to acquire projects. We are also looking for, as I mentioned, you know, the platform funding, private equity platform funding. So all of that should kind of give us the, you know, the firepower to go for more acquisitions and achieve our targets.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Farooq, for thank you all for participating in this evening con call. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR manager at Alvarum Advisor. Thank you and have a great evening ahead.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you for joining us.